Good morning, everybody. Today is March 27th. The Ohio State Affairs Committee will come to order at 10 minutes after 8. Today, we'll be considering HJR 9, which is a constitutional amendment representing the benefits of marriage. And today's hearing, again, is on House Joint Resolution 9, which proposes an amendment to the section of the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to marriage. The amendment would have the Constitution read. I thought it'd be good to go over this before we have any testimony so we know exactly what it is we're trying to consider today. So the amendment would have the Constitution read to be valid or recognized in this state. A marriage may exist only between one man and one woman. No other union is similarly situated to a marriage between a man and a woman, and therefore a marriage between a man and a woman is the only union that shall be valid or recognized in this state, and to which the rights, benefits, obligations, qualities, or effects of marriage shall be extended or assigned. So that's what this hearing in HJR 9 is all about. And after the resolution leaves this committee, it will travel to the Judiciary Committee, then the Finance Committee, before a vote on the House floor. And of course, the same pattern will take place in the Senate down the hall. Now, I understand, obviously, that HJR 9 involves a very, very important issue to all of us and to the state. And usually, the more important the issue, the more controversial it is. So I'm going to require that we do our best to avoid labels, use appropriate and accurate language, and we conduct ourselves with the appropriateness that the importance of this subject deserves. After the introduction of HJR 9 by the sponsor of the resolution, I'll open public testimony. To be as fair as possible, I'll alternate between con and pro testimony to try my best to keep it even, and request those who testify to limit their testimony to 3 minutes. And we'll end public testimony at a time that will allow a public, committee discussion. And if someone doesn't get a chance to testify because of time restraints, written testimony is always welcome, and I also welcome written testimony from anybody who does testify. And we will be timing this, my trusty assistant tells me, and I've asked my vice chair, Bob Roses, on my right, to try to keep track of who we call on next, so it's his fault if the wrong one gets called at the wrong time. Okay?
Thank you, Bob.
That's okay.
I appreciate that.
And before I go any further, I would like to I'd like to recognize one. We have Representative Dahl here, Representative Gernberg, Representative Johnson, Representative Johansson, Vice Chair Bob Roses, and Representative Kaka, who will be testifying. This HJR 9 is sponsored by Representative Coghill, who's also our Rules Chair, and is co-sponsored by Representatives John Harris, Bob Lynn, Vic Coring, Peggy Wilson, Carl Gatto, Nancy Dawson, Mike Kelly, Mark Newman, Bill Thomas, Bill Stoltz, and Craig Johnson. And I'll begin this hearing by welcoming and inviting our colleague Representative Coghill to introduce the resolution and comment upon it. And then again, after your testimony, Reverend Coghill will begin public testimony. So good morning, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for scheduling the bill. Mr. Chairman, this has been a national debate on what marriage and the benefits of marriage should be assigned, how they should be assigned, that is. Mr. Chairman, this is a constitutional amendment that specifies that the benefits, qualities, and effects of marriage should be for those whom we've already said in the Alaska Constitution, for those who are married, a man and a woman. Mr. Chairman, the people of Alaska voted around 68% some years ago as a continuing part of the controversy. The controversy started probably before we got the constitutional amendment up on whether we should have unions between same-sex couples. And the people resoundingly said in a constitutional amendment that that marriage should be between a man and a woman only. Mr. Chairman, a national debate, no doubt about it. And it tests the mettle of many, many people. It tests us morally, it tests us legally, and it tests us emotionally. But Mr. Chairman, this constitutional amendment proposal comes to you because of a court decision. This is not something that I would do lightly. I like our Constitution. I think it's done well. But because of court decisions, I think that the only way that we can answer the court decision is through a constitutional amendment. And here's why, Mr. Chairman. The court ruled that because the people of Alaska voted that marriage should be between a man and woman only, that there are those who are similarly situated who have been excluded from getting any benefits. Those who are of the opposite sex could marry and remedy that situation. And the court said that because they're the same as married couples but forbidden to marry, therefore we must give them benefits. And Mr. Chairman, I disagree with that ruling. I don't find that they are equal to or congruent to married people. The Alaska State Legislature in the Alaska Statutes 2505.013b said that marriage not only is between a man and a woman, but the benefits of marriage should be only assigned to married people. And the statutes in Section 1880 said that under unlawful employment practices, and Mr. Chairman, if I might quote from Section 1880.220, unlawful employment practices, it says, quote, they provide greater health and retirement benefits to employees who have a spouse or dependent children. And it's certainly my intent to show that it's a public good. It's a public policy that is for the good of society generally. It's for marriages, and it has a societal benefit, primarily in raising children. So the Supreme Court overruled the legislature, and it overruled the people of Alaska, because I don't believe it was the intent of the people of Alaska to create a situation where the benefits of marriage must go to those of the same sex. I think this is a clarifying language. So the purpose in proposing this amendment is to state that clearly, because the legislature now cannot pass a law. We've been overruled by the Supreme Court, and the only place where you can go for the remedy to that rule is to the people of Alaska. And so the policy call that I'm asking this committee to make is let the people have a voice in that say. And the only way to do that at this particular juncture is propose a constitutional amendment, because the Supreme Court has ruled in a certain way, which I disagree with. And I venture to say that most people in Alaska would. And so that's the first policy call. The second policy call is what the actual verbiage is. And if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Chairman, I'll just take a couple minutes and go through the verbiage. The first part of this language is no other union is similarly situated to a marriage between a man and a woman. Therefore, a marriage between a man and a woman is the only union that should be valid or recognized in the state. That language needs to be there because the court has said if they're similarly situated, they must be treated equally. And that's an answer to the Supreme Court. And then the rights, benefits, obligations, qualities comes from the background, comes from the Brawls case, where they said there was, I think, 115 benefits and privileges available to married people, which would fall under either benefits, obligations, qualities, or effects of marriage. And and I can give you an idea. For example, I have some notes here. The word benefits would be, for example, employment benefits, which is probably the biggest part of this topic. The privileges would be spousal privileges regarding, for example, court testimony. Qualities and effects would be various legal qualities that we have under marriage law. And the obligations would be, for example, support in divorce context, for example. So I think the whole body of law around marriage has been building over the years. I'm not here to say that the health of marriage in America generally is that good. We've had, I think, some disintegration in that area. But I still think the body of law is very clear. And I think historically, I think of all of Western civilization, marriage has been between a man and a woman. So we're pushing the envelope, if you will, of what marriage should be. Certainly in Alaska, marriage is going to be between a man and a woman. But the court has said you have this equal or congruent to or similarly situated situation. And I think they literally turned on the head the will of the people. So it's under the equal protection that they're saying, because, Mr. Chairman, what they did was, I think, this is just my personal view, they took a policy call and then had to rationalize their way to a conclusion. And the way they rationalized it is they had to first say that the people who are of the same sex are, in fact, equal to married couples, and then had to go through a kind of a legal definition of how the people of Alaska must give them benefits. In the Browse case, that was the whole argument. They were arguing that same-sex couples should be able to marry because they saw that the benefits of marriage was the only way they could get. They saw that marriage was the only way they could get themselves to the benefits of marriage. I think it's a societal question that we need to answer. So, Mr. Chairman, I know there's a lot of people lined up to testify, and what I'd like to do is at least have some chance to answer questions that have been brought up through public testimony and answer questions before the committee, recognizing that I'm going to be pushing for the policy call of let's let people chime in on it. And the only way that we can do it, Mr. Chairman, is present a document to them that allows a vote for a constitutional change. I feel very strongly that the people of Alaska would chime in and say that the benefits of marriage should belong to married people. I don't think that it's a I don't think it's a slight on anybody else. People can get the benefits of health care and many other benefits through either agreements to pay or through contractual issues. But I want to, in my mind, honor and protect marriage. I think that's one of the healthy cornerstones of our society. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't propose an amendment to the Constitution lightly. The Supreme Court has put us in a position where I think we have a societal debate, and I'd like to have that debate. The will of the people, as it says in the first article of our Constitution, is the final rule. The legislature at this point can only propose. It's at this point that either the people of Alaska will dispose or the Supreme Court will dispose of this particular issue. And I say, let's let the people speak on this one as a matter of constitutional amendment with some finality. So, Mr. Chairman, unless you have questions, I'll go ahead and step aside for those who wish to testify.
Thank you, Representative Coghill. I presented the case very nicely. We could ask further some questions now. It might be better since we have so many people lined up as to go through at least some of the public testimony now, then come back and have you respond to that, if that's the will of the committee. So with that, please come back and join us. Representative Rose has been busy trying to get all these folks in line here. So Representative Rose, who is first?
Bob Dahl is here in the audience. Come forward, please.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. I'm spending more time in the Capitol in recent days than
I. Do you have any relations on this?
I do indeed, and I'm very proud that I do. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My topic today is...
You're not going to disagree with anything that she says, are you?
I'll leave it to her to contradict me. We are about to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary, so we've worked out all of those...
You want to get your 41st.
...regulations. We do. My subject today is, what are we fighting for? I began my 36 years of military service in 1955 when I enlisted as a private of infantry in the U.S. Army Reserve. And I took at that time an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. And at the time, we still had in our unit a great many veterans of World War II and the Korean War. And many of them remembered the old cliche about what are we fighting for? It was a question most often asked in jest, and the usual response was, we're fighting for some pinup queen or some prospective pinup queen that we hope to get to know better. But the question had a hard edge as well, and the Department of the Army made several training films with the same title. The films invariably conveyed the message that we were fighting to rid the world of bullies, be they German, Japanese, or Soviet. And that seemed like a good thing to me to invest one's life toward accomplishing. I had occasion to remember that message often in the next 36 years. When the rifle, helmet, and pack became too much to carry, or when green water came over the bow and almost washed us overboard, or when the canal in Vietnam that I was taking my boat along seemed too long, too straight, and too narrow, I thought a lot about what I was fighting for. I believed, Mr. Chairman, that I was fighting to prevent the kind of bullying that singles out some of our citizens for inferior status, that applies some kind of test that undermines their citizenship, the kind of bullying that made possible totalitarian regimes in countries, in once proud countries around the world, and which ultimately required all of the treasure and manpower we could muster to overcome. I was, and I remain, proud of whatever small role I was able to play in that effort, and I believe that most Americans share in the pride that goes with having overcome that kind of bullying. And so I ask that the committee table this resolution and reassure to those of us who thought we knew what we were fighting for that the Alaska legislature understands what we have all fought for. That concludes my testimony, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to thank you for your service to the nation, sir.
Glad to share that with you.
And I'm not sure that this relates to bullying, but... Yeah, let's leave that discussion until later on. Who's
sir.
Next?
Next would be you, Bob Head.
Bob Head, are you with us?
In the audience.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the opportunity to address this issue.
Fine, and it'll be close to 3 minutes as we can make it.
It will be less than that, I promise. As I see it, and I have a great deal of respect for the men who preceded me as a veteran, and we have looked very seriously at times at what we were fighting for then, what we continue to fight for now, and that is to maintain a form of government in this nation whereby the people are the government. And the people of this state made a very clear statement, and I believe since there seems to be some lack of clarity in where the limits are on the whole situation, that once again we need to come back to the people, give them an opportunity once again to voice very clearly and perhaps more clearly define what it is that we as a people want and don't want. This issue, as I see it, is not necessarily one of ethics, morality, religion, or anything else. This ethic is, do we the people really run our nation and this state? Or do we look at individuals other than those we elect to represent us to make a change in what we are trying to accomplish as a people? Our representatives have done a very good job of bringing things forward, representing the folks that elected them to office. And I find it very discouraging and upsetting, frankly, that a few unelected individuals can turn that on its head and say, no, we're going to make it go in this direction. So my final comment is, let's give the people a chance to vote once again to clarify where we stand on this thing. We are a government of the people, not by a few select men in black robes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, and I'll thank you for your service. It's nice that we're leading off this testimony this morning by two veterans. Reverend Roses?
Thank you. Next, we're going to go online to Anchorage to Stephen Jockier. If I mispronounced your name, I'm sorry. Stephen, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name and who you represent.
My name is Stephen Jockier, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my family.
Thank you.
My partner is a retired UAA professor in a small business center. I'm a teacher, have taught for many years in Alaska's rural villages, and now also own and operate a small business. This is a second relationship for both of us. Doran, my partner, lost his first partner, Frank, to diabetes after they were together for 27 years. I lost my first partner, Rob, after 13 years. Doran and I have now been together for 5 going on 6 years and will doubtless remain a couple for the rest of our lives. Between the two of us, we have worked in Alaska for 43 years so far. Our family resides in South Anchorage. Our daughter, Christina, is in high school, and our son, Andrew, is in college. Raising children and putting them through college is indeed expensive. We pull our own weight and are not a burden upon anyone else. My partner and I have worked long and hard in Alaska and continue to do so now. Our payroll contributions have funded the coverage of our married coworkers for decades. I am currently covered by my partner's insurance, but if this bill succeeds, though, then after having paid in once already via our payroll deductions, we would be forced to also seek private health coverage, pulling out our wallets a second time to pay at private rates, on top of our labor having subsidized coverage for our coworkers' spouses for 43 years. Obtaining equivalent medical insurance at private rates is very expensive. It's money which could be much better spent on our children's needs and college tuition fees. Bills like this in the South were called Jim Crow laws. They marginalized and disenfranchised people of color, forced white folks to be parasites upon the labor of people of color, and were bad for everyone. Jim Crow laws existed because a righteous majority was content to tyrannically exploit and abuse a minority. Not an admirable exercise of good Christian values. This is no different. Gay people are just as God created us. We have no more choice about that than we do about our skin color. Just as women should receive pay equal with that of men for performing equal work, Alaskans in longstanding committed relationships contributing to our community with their labor, yet who are prohibited from marriage, absolutely do merit treatment equal with that accorded to our married coworkers. The Alaska Constitution says so, the highest court in the state says so, and common decency says so. We work just as hard, pay in just as much. We, too, have children in school and college. We would go to City Hall and sign a civil marriage contract if we could. And many of us certainly have been together as committed unmarried couples far longer than most heterosexual married couples. If the situation were turned around with this bill directly targeting our married coworkers and forcing us to become parasites upon them, then as fair-minded good neighbors, we would not stand for it. Please, please, table this now. Be leaders. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your testimony and appreciate your adhering to your time allotment. Reverend Roses?
We're going to continue with another online caller, Lauren Lehman, calling in, I think from Juneau. Former Lieutenant Governor. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Lieutenant Governor.
Good morning, Chairman Lynn and members of the House State Affairs Committee. I'm happy to call in to offer my support for HJR 9 to restore the will of the people in Alaska, establishing social policy. An enormous amount is at stake when judges act as social engineers, convincing themselves that they possess more expertise in deciding morally laden issues than you yourselves in the legislature, or the drafters of our Constitution, or even the people of Alaska. Let me offer that when judges overreach, what is at stake is the very difference between a democratic republic, which is a government by the people, and our elected representatives, that is you, and an oligarchy, which is a government by a few black-robed elites. Now, many people are asking me, why are we here again? And perhaps a brief history lesson is in order. It was 12 years ago that two homosexual men, who happened to reside in my district, sued the state for a marriage license, claiming they were denied equal protection because they could not receive the rights, privileges, and benefits provided married men and women. Well, next, a Superior Court judge, Peter Michalski in Anchorage, ignoring more than 6,000 years of recorded history, which always identified marriage as a union of men and women, ruled that they might be right. Well, in response, two-thirds of our legislature and nearly 70% of Alaskans passed the marriage amendment, which now appears in Article 1, Section 25, in 1998, to reaffirm that marriage may exist only between one man and one woman. And although it defended marriage from judicial redefinition, the amendment left open the possibility that the people, or you, our elected representatives, could, if you wished, voluntarily offer additional employment and retirement benefits to people who are not married. The legislature has wisely, in my opinion, chosen not to do this. Well, I'm quite familiar with the legislative history because I was just down the hall in the Senate and participated in the debate. In fact, I remember clearly one of the questions asked me during the debate, and that was this. Does this, that is the constitutional amendment, preclude the private or even public offering of benefits to people who are not married? The answer was no, but neither does the Constitution require it. And that history, along with the records from the Constitutional Convention in 1955 and 56, and I know that one of the members of your committee is the son of one of those delegates, and I'm sure he could speak to that. But back at that time, 51 years ago, marriage and its benefits had long been established under territorial law, and all of those records should have been cleared to the court.
Thank you, sir, but your time is up. Thank you for your testimony.
Appreciate you coming in and talking. Could you please submit the rest of your comments in writing? It would be appreciated. Thank you. Who's next?
Next would be Shirley Rivas online from Anchorage. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, good morning. Actually, I can see no reason whatsoever to amend our Constitution to further define marriage and its benefits. I'm a happily married woman. My husband and I have a blended family of 5 adult children and 12 grandchildren. I do not see how this legislation will in any way improve my life, my husband's life, or the lives of any of our children or grandchildren. In fact, I see the very harmful effects this legislation will have on our gay son and his partner. These two young men work hard at their jobs, work hard at higher education, contribute to our family culture, and contribute to society as a whole. These two men are truly as dedicated to one another as my husband and I are to each other. To remove benefits from them that they've worked hard for and truly earned is hateful and criminal. The basis for HJR 9 is hate. Hate of a minority population of this state. Forgive me, but I thought the legislative body was elected by the people to represent the people and protect their rights, even if they happen to be minorities. How does HJR 9 protect the earned rights of my son and his partner? Our Constitution should not have been amended in 1998 and should not be amended further now. HJR is nothing more than a hate crime. Please defeat HJR in this committee. Thank you.
One question. Does either your son or his friend work for the state of Alaska?
You mean his partner?
Either one.
No, they don't.
Thank you. Okay, next.
Dave Bronson, online from Anchorage.
Chairman, thank you again for the opportunity to once again speak to the legislature on this very important issue. My name is Dave Bronson. I live in Anchorage, and I speak as a concerned citizen. Though a board member of the Alaska Family Council and Alaska Family Action, I do not speak for the board at this time, as I hope Mr. Minery, the director, will have the opportunity to do so later. Ladies and gentlemen of the legislature in this committee, nearly 1 year ago I sat here and spoke in favor of HJR 32 and SJR 20. Legislation which attempted to accomplish what HDR 9 is trying to accomplish today. If you are like me, then you're getting quite tired of hearing about this issue of gay marriage and the benefits that follow. It would be nice if it would just go away, if it would just get resolved. Well, as a matter of fact, as the former lieutenant governor said, it was resolved in 1998 when the legislature acted, the people voted, and the Constitution was changed. Article 1, Section 25 of the Constitution now states that, quote, to be valid or recognized in this state, a marriage may exist only between one man and one woman, unquote. That seems to be very clear and concise resolution of this issue. Then came a small group of homosexual activists and their willing allies in the judiciary who, through very tortured logic, determined that since homosexual employees of the state could not be married, they must be treated as if they were married, and that is through same-sex benefits. Ladies and gentlemen, this is really not about same-sex benefits. This is simply an incremental attack on the institution of marriage, with same-sex benefits used as the primary weapon in that attack. Furthermore, during this attack, the constitutional authority of the legislature has been seriously abridged by the judiciary, your authority. The question now remains, then, what is to be done? One option is to do nothing and let this body blow to the institution of marriage go unchallenged, whereupon in a year or two, these very same activists will be at the door demanding same-sex marriage, and they will prevail. This is the roadmap that was followed in Massachusetts and elsewhere. The other option is for 62 people in June to set aside for a short period of time the issues of gas lines and taxes, hunting and fishing, and deal with something that is far more important, preserving the institution, which is the very foundation of our republic and our state. To fail in this endeavor at this time will eventually render those other issues nearly meaningless. I ask every one of you, as well as the governor and the lieutenant governor, to support HJR 9 and bring this issue to its rightful conclusion. With permission, I would like to include with my remarks testimony by Dr. Jeffrey Satinover before the Massachusetts Senate Committee Studying Gay Marriage presented April 28, 2003. His testimony will provide a fundamental understanding of the issue that is before us today. Thank you again very much.
Thank you for your testimony, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Who next do we have signed up?
Well, I'm trying to go from each area. So next, let's go to Fairbanks Online and Jeannie Lawrence Sally.
That's Jean Lawrence L.
Well, I can't. Got close.
It was an excellent effort. I'm Jean Lawrence L., and I think the question really that we're considering today is, will all Alaskan citizens be treated equally, or will we allow a pressure group to institute legislation to suppress a minority? We have a long tradition in the United States. Our Constitution is founded with the Bill of Rights. The state of Alaska similarly has a Bill of Rights and our inherent rights. We're leading off with that all persons are equal and will have equal rights, equal opportunities, and equal treatment under law. So are we going to dispense with that in the interests of fundamentalist Christians, or are we going to continue with our great tradition of protecting minorities? I'm a mother. I'm in a blended family. I have two children, and I use partner benefits at the University of Alaska. In order to protect, cover my stepdaughter, I need to have domestic partner benefits. Whew, I think I've run out of things to say briefly. I hope that you will table this measure, and it's just terrible. And the effects are so sweeping and so broad that they go far beyond the state providing or not providing employment benefits. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Next, we'll go back to the audience.
To the audience.
Honda Hen.
Who is it again, please?
Honda Head. Did I pronounce your name right?
Sorry?
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
You
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I would just like to say thank you.
Put the microphone just a little bit closer, please.
Okay.
Have pity on an old man here. I
watch a lot. Yeah, I would like to say thank you to all of you who are sponsoring this. I will keep this short. Where is the voice of the people? Don't we want matter? And as far as rights and being discriminated against, hey, you know, marriage is marriage. It's between a man and a woman. It's not between a dog and my dog loves us, but we can't marry him. So if we want coverage for him, we have to buy it. If we want to take him to the doctor or to the hospital or something for surgery, we have to pay for it. I mean, if you're in a relationship that you, it's just as disgusting to me as being married to an animal. But that's your right. But you can pay for it yourself if you want coverage for them. Please pass this bill.
Next, Mary Graham.
Good morning, Chairman Lynn and members of the committee. My name is Mary Graham. I am a state employee, but I'm not on state time at the moment. I'm also a member of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Juneau. And I'm hearing a lot about this is about marriage, this is about marriage, this is about marriage, and I disagree with that. The issue of marriage was taken care of in 1998. When we had that constitutional amendment, which was a very hurtful and hateful campaign also. Right now, this is an issue about equal pay for equal work. And what I'm worried about with this constitutional amendment, it is going to take away health benefits that have already been given to many domestic partnerships in this state. And that includes heterosexual domestic partners and same-sex domestic partners. And some of those benefits were negotiated through collective bargaining, and I don't want to see the Alaska Constitution limit the right of employees to collectively bargain with their employers for benefits, which is equal pay for equal work. The sponsor of this bill talked about this being part of the national debate, and Alaska's equal protection clause is stronger than the federal and many other states' equal protection clause, and I think the Supreme Court rightly stated that all Alaska citizens are created equal and should receive the benefits of being Alaska citizens. And so I hope that you table this amendment also. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Debbie Rogers?
Debbie Jocelyn online, I believe. Debbie, are you there?
Yes, this is Debbie Jocelyn. Calling from Delta Junction. Thank you for hearing my testimony this morning. I'm calling in favor of HJR 9, and I haven't really prepared written remarks this morning. I just want to speak from my heart. I've been hearing the testimony, and I was one of the 70% of Alaskans who voted in 1998, yes, for a constitutional amendment for marriage. And what I meant when I voted that way was that marriage is between one man and one woman. And I meant everything about marriage is between one man and one woman. And I feel as though the judges of Alaska have ignored what I said and what 70% of Alaskans said in 1998. And it's very, very necessary that the legislature put a constitutional amendment before the people in 2008 on the ballot so that we can have a chance to weigh in on this and explain further what apparently the judges did not understand the first time, and further define marriage and what that means to us. The will of the people has been usurped by the court. And I want to say that I have no hate at all toward any I have no hate toward anyone who is homosexual. I have endured these last few weeks daily phone calls and emails and letters that are filled with hate toward me and my family. And I don't hate those people either. And I don't think less of those folks, and they have a right to do their lives the way they want. But the people of Alaska have no obligation to call that marriage or treat it as marriage. And for the sake of our children, we need to prefer marriage. Children are so much better off if they can be raised in a healthy environment where they have a mother and a father. That's not always possible, but it is the best for our children. And we need to think about what is best for children here and not about somebody's sexual preferences. I hear people tell me that they have a loving, committed relationship with another individual of the same sex. I have a loving, committed relationship with my mother-in-law, but we are not married, nor could we ever be married, because she is a woman and so am I. It takes one man and one woman to create a marriage, and a marriage is special and unique and different than any other relationship on the face of this earth. That's all I have to say. I just please pass HJR 9. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
Go back online to Rolando Rivas, I believe, calling in from Anchorage.
Yes, thank you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you today?
Okay, so far.
Great. Okay, HJR 9 is not about marriage. It is about taking away rights and benefits from a segment of Alaska's population. Alaska's state constitution guarantees equal rights to all its citizens. There is nothing exclusionary about its wording, and to have some members of this legislative body try to take away those rights for strictly political reasons is wrong. I ask this legislative body to do what is right and just, and that is to table HJR 9 in this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Appreciate the brevity of it.
Next, we'll go online again, I think, to Delta Junction. Art Griswold.
Art, are you there? Mr. Griswold? We'll come back.
Is he still online?
Okay. Yeah, this is Art Griswold. I'm still here.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. I have been in Alaska since the 50s. I am a 73-year-old male with a very beautiful female wife that I'm proud of. We have raised 8 children of our own, plus a number of others that came from households that had problems. I believe marriage is a very critical part of raising children. I believe that a man and a woman can raise the children where you don't confuse them as to their sexuality. I believe HJR 9 is a right of the people of Alaska, as it was written to be our vote, and decide whether we want to have same-sex marriage or same-sex partners acknowledged or not. I don't believe that HJR 9 should ever be tabled or stopped. It should go through, give the people the right of their vote. They've had the votes before. Let's let the people have the vote like they're supposed to in our democracy. I am a veteran, by the way, also, and I could cry on that, but I happen to be an old veteran, so I don't cry much about it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And from one old veteran to another, I thank you for your service.
Marsha Buck.
Morning.
Good morning. My name is Marsha Buck, and I'm here representing PFLAG Juno. PFLAG stands for Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and I'm a parent. Alaskan voters recently gave you, the legislature, a mandate, didn't they? They shortened the legislative session from 120 days down to 90 days beginning next January.
That's why we're having 3-minute testimony.
Alaskans appear to be giving you the message that they want you to use your time wisely and not frivolously during the legislative session. It seems to me that this hearing today may be the very type of activity that Alaskan voters had in mind when they made the 90-day vote. You do not need to be here this morning. I do not need to be here this morning. And the advisory vote scheduled 1 week from today does not need to be occurring either. And especially both of these together, this hearing and the advisory vote, do not need to be happening. Together, they give the appearance, I'm afraid, of a huge waste of time and money. Unless, of course, there's a particular group that's into some reason I don't understand, perhaps some political maneuvering or some particular group that's somehow using the removal of my daughter's health benefits for some purpose that I don't understand, some purpose that goes against the Alaska value of fairness. But I would love to trust that you, our legislators, would not use my daughter and her rights to try and trick people into voting the way that you might want or a majority group might want next Tuesday. I would love to trust that you, our legislators, would render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And in this case, that's loyalty to the legislative process of running one-third of the balanced three-part state government, and that you would render unto God what is God's, which in all cases is following the commandment to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And your neighbor includes my daughter and other Alaskans like her. The way a legislative body shows love is not by going out individually and shoveling driveways, although we know that's been needed this winter, but by making certain that Alaskans who are like my daughter have the health care benefits that they've worked hard to earn. So please do not pass HJR 9 out of committee. It's time to vote no on this, like we'll vote no next Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you. Is your daughter or a friend of hers perhaps a state employee?
I knew you were going to ask that. I serve as mother to a woman here in Alaska whose partner is a state employee, although my biological daughter is not a state employee.
So then your daughter does have state benefits or does not have state benefits?
Does have state benefits.
She does.
Because her partner, the woman I serve as daughter to, her partner is an employee of the state.
If this constitutional amendment were to pass, she would not have benefits?
She would lose her benefits. That's correct.
Thank you.
I have a question.
I took your chair for argument. Perhaps I shouldn't have. I want to go down the list.
Barbara Belknap.
I didn't mean to open it up. I shouldn't have done. Good morning. Yes, please. Put your testimony over.
My name is Barbara Belknap. I live here in Juneau, and I'm here to testify against HJR 9. Former House Speaker Gail Phillips helped me decide what I would say today. Representative Phillips is in a new TV ad for Northern Dynasty Minerals Pebble Mine. In the ad, she says that fairness is an Alaskan moral value. She is also quoted in yesterday's paper saying that attacks on the Pebble Mine are so unfair that I think it is un-American and un-Alaskan. Fairness is in the eye of the beholder. When our children were young, my husband and I had the final say when they couldn't agree. Inevitably, one would end up crying, "That's not fair." In our democracy, when two parties cannot agree on what is fair, the issue goes to the courts for an impartial decision. We are here today because some members of the administrative and legislative branches didn't like a decision made about fairness by the judicial branch. The judges ruled that it was not fair for some public employees to get employment benefits by virtue of marriage, while their co-workers who were in committed same-sex relationships were denied benefits. This resolution appears to go even further, prohibiting all employers from offering benefits to any couples who are not married. The state constitution guarantees equal protection. And since the state workers were prohibited by the constitution from marrying, the fair and just thing to do is to provide equal benefits for equal work. The overarching goal of good government policy should be making sure that as many people as possible have health benefits, not trying to take them away. I am an Alaskan, and I have to respectfully disagree with Representative Phillips. Fairness is not an inherent moral value for Alaskans, or we wouldn't be here today. Live and let live used to be an Alaskan philosophy, but obviously that is no longer true. This resolution will further divide Alaskans. The us versus them public discourse will continue to hurt our gay and lesbian family members, friends, and neighbors who contribute so much to our state. Ultimately, if the two proposed amendments to the Constitution pass, existing and future benefits will be taken away from hardworking Alaskans. Now that is really unfair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Christina Johannes?
Christy Johannes, are you there?
My name is Christina Johannes. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. Just wanted to thank you for this opportunity to testify in favor of HJR number 9. I support the amendment and just see it as a clarification of what we already have in our Constitution. I was involved in the campaign to pass the original marriage amendment and, frankly, was dumbfounded by the court's decision to ignore the implications of that amendment and give marital benefits to same-sex unions. I wanted to thank Lauren Lehman for the history he gave us because that was very helpful. I would like to thank the sponsors of this amendment and hope that all legislatures will take seriously their oath to uphold the Constitution and pass this amendment. I do hope that the wording of this amendment is sufficient to overcome the strong ideological bent of the court on this matter, because it would be a travesty if we have to pass yet a third amendment in order to preserve the natural law definition of marriage. Homosexual unions are in no way similar to marriage, and thus it was incorrect for the court to say that they are. Therefore, this is not an equal protections issue. A small group of people want to impose their own sexual values on the majority of Alaskans, and they are using the court to do it. The wording of this amendment, which specifically lays out that no other union is similarly situated to marriage, is of the utmost importance because it gives the courts the clear direction they obviously need to understand this issue. Marriage is the foundation of our civilization and the foundation of our society. As a society, we have an interest in promoting marriage because it is by nature procreative and touches our future in a way that no other relationship can. It is not unfair to promote marriage over other relationships. A previous speaker referred to bullying. I've never seen so much bullying as I've seen from the opponents of the natural law definition of marriage. Protecting marriage is called a hate crime. This shows me how important the protection of marriage is, because if we do not overturn the court's decision by clarifying the marriage amendment, we can only expect more of this sort of bullying to try to make us accept the erroneous values of this minority. Thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
Jane Hague.
What's your name again, please?
Thank you. My name's Jane Hague. I'm in Fairbanks. I'm just testifying on behalf of myself and my family. I've been in a committed relationship for 25 years. I just feel very privileged that I'm female and my committed partner happens to be male so that we can be married and that I can be assured that I can take care of his future, that I've been able to benefit from his employment benefits, and we've been able to take care of our children and have health benefits from them. But it just seems extremely unfair that those kind of benefits should be denied to other people who are not similarly situated. And, you know, I also am deeply offended that efforts are being undertaken here to add bigotry and discrimination to our Constitution for Alaska. When the delegates met, they sought to enshrine in our Constitution equal benefits and equal rights to privacy beyond what is in our national constitution. And they say all persons are equal and entitled to equal rights and opportunities and protections under the law. They also said that all persons, meaning all residents of Alaska, have corresponding obligations to the people and to the state. Now, they didn't say which people. They didn't say only some people. And they didn't even say people who agree with them. They said all people. And I just see this amendment as extremely degrading to our Constitution. I would hope that we're moving to a more egalitarian society where we agree to take care of all people and all of their children with the kind of benefits. And this is not about marriage. You can define marriage any way you want. And to me, marriage is a sacrament that is sanctified by religious communities. And some religious communities decide not to sanctify gay marriages, and other religious communities decide that they will sanctify marriages between people of the same sex. But the state and the people of Alaska in their wisdom have defined marriage as one particular union between a man and a woman. But that cannot override, and the morality or the supposed morality of one group of people cannot override the equal benefits conferred to everyone in the state in our Constitution. Now, you know, I think it's about time for all of us to agree that there are moral people with moral feelings on both sides of this issue, and that we can't enshrine the morals of one side in the Constitution. I'm also really offended by the characterization of the Supreme Court as a bunch of black-robed elites. You know, we live in a society where people don't always agree, and the Supreme Court is empowered by all of us as the people of Alaska to make decisions based on the Constitution. They read the Constitution. They correctly read that equal rights for equal work, equal pay for equal work is enshrined in the Constitution.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. If you had other comments, you can please submit them in writing to us.
Next, Patty Griswold, I think, is online in Delta Junction. Patty, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Many of you people down there know my family quite well. Representative Coghill and Harris both know my family very well. Representative Coghill, when he spoke this morning, he pretty much said the majority of what I was already thinking. So I just pretty much want to back him up. When he spoke of the history of our country, our country was built on religion and on religious values. And if you look back into your Bible, it says a relationship between a man and a woman. And I just don't feel that anything needs to be changed on this. I think this should go forward and be passed. And
much more to be having.
Like I said, I wholeheartedly support what Representative Coghill said this morning, because he pretty much summed up everything that I was going to say. So there's evidently no reason to reiterate again, you know, what he already said. But I just want to say that our country was built on the religion and the religious values and the marriage between a man and a woman. So I guess there's nothing else to say.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony.
Next would be Patrick Marlowe, I believe online from Fairbanks. Patrick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I don't want to take a lot of time. I don't have prepared statements. My name is Patrick Marlowe. I am an employee of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. My partner, Richard Collins, is also an employee of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. As employees, we both have benefits independent of each other if we so choose to take them. I would point out, however, that it is cheaper for the state and it is cheaper for us. If I choose to waive my benefits under my employment and to accept my benefits through my partner, Richard Collins. We have done this for the last 2 years, and as a result, we save $1,000 annually in costs directly to us. If this amendment goes forward, the university would be forced to withdraw benefits. It would be then taken to the courts, I have to admit, because my partner and I, in fact, have been registered partners with the university for over 10 years. We have been partnered for 15 years. We have been living in Alaska for 12 years. So to be honest with you, if this were passed, I would have to go to a lawyer. I would have to demand that rights and benefits that I have been receiving for the last 10 years or so would continue. I doubt very much that I would be the only person to bring a suit against the state. In fact, I fully expect that there would be quite a few lawsuits and a lot of litigation. That aside, to be honest with you, the money to me is not the big issue. For me, what I fear is the larger issue of what are those obligations, rights, benefits, et cetera, of marriage. I have a fear that my partner should become ill. And if he were to become ill and I were to demand to see him in the hospital, and I were to have a doctor who did not approve of my relationship, that doctor could look at me and go, you're not married. You do not have a right to see him. You are not married. You have no right to make decisions with regard to medical treatment. Yet, that is the relationship we have. I have responsibility for him. He has responsibility for me. We are not a burden on the state. We are not a burden precisely because we accept that responsibility for each other. And I honestly believe that the state would be far better served by promoting relationships where people took personal responsibility for each other so that we do not wind up a burden on the state in our old age. And lastly, I'd like to say that personally I'm offended by being compared to a dog. Thank you.
Appreciate your testimony, sir. And we have about how many more signed up approximately?
How many more?
Approximately.
About another 20?
About another 20. Obviously, we won't be able to get to all, and we've not asked anybody any questions. I've asked a couple of questions, mainly, are you or are you not a state employee? We've not gone in discussion with any of the witnesses in the interest of time. We will have a committee discussion when we cut off the testimony, which I will probably be in the neighborhood of 9:30, give or take. So we're going to get the next.
Mr. Chair, as part of that discussion, yeah. Will you allow us to ask questions of anyone that's testified that's still present?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that.
But we cannot get into discourses with 40 people.
No, Mr. Chair, that was absolutely not my intent.
But at some point, I am going to ask you, are you or are you not a state employee? I think that's very pertinent because this. It's about that.
No, Mr. Chair, I have no problem with any question you wish to ask.
Next would be Sid Heidersdorf, I believe, if I pronounce the name correctly. If not, at least you know who I'm talking about. Thank you, sir.
And you did pronounce it correctly.
I've heard a lot worse. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Sid Heidersdorf. I'm a resident of Juneau, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself. It is really incredible that we should be revisiting this issue after the amendment to the Constitution. I would say that I've heard people say this is not about marriage. I think it is exactly about marriage because the Supreme Court said it's about marriage. They said that the same-sex union was similarly situated, the individuals involved in such a union, and therefore they deserved to get the same benefits as marriage. And I think that's very clear then, that they have created marriage in a sense without calling it that, and I would view that as certainly an attack on marriage. I hear people talk about equal treatment. If, in fact, denying benefits to the non-married is discrimination, then our society is full of discrimination, and the Supreme Court should have a heyday in overruling all kinds of things. We discriminate in our society based on age, race, economic status, and residence. We have professional licenses, we have welfare programs, limited entry, subsistence hunting. All of this discriminates against some people. And we do this and we accept it because it's for the good of society. And I think the Supreme Court simply ignored that issue and failed to recognize that marriage is a vital institution for the welfare of our society, and that denying marriage benefits to those who are not married, there's nothing unusual or unjust about it. We set up, the state has programs and policies for the purpose, as I say, for the common good. I've heard it talked about equal pay for equal work. I think they're somewhat disingenuous to put it that way. If you asked 10 people out in the street what their pay was, they would not tell you what their benefits were. They would give you what they received monthly in their salary check or whatever it is. And I think that kind of is fooling people about what the issue really is. It is not about equal pay for equal work.
You have 15 seconds.
15 seconds. I support HJR 9, and I wish to thank all of the sponsors to give us an opportunity to try to correct a mistake of the Supreme Court. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, sir.
Next, we'll go online again to Anchorage, I believe. Lydia Garcia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman Lynn and members of the State Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Lydia Garcia, and I serve as the interim executive director for the 13,000 members of NEA Alaska. NEA Alaska is online this morning to testify in opposition to HJR 9 and to all legislation that discriminates against Alaskans. One only has to read from the beginnings of Alaska's Constitution to realize that this type of legislation has no place in our great state. This Constitution is dedicated to the principles that all persons have a natural right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the enjoyment of the rewards of their own industry, that all persons are equal and entitled to equal rights, opportunities and protections under the law, and that all persons have corresponding obligations to the people and to the state. HJR 9 would prevent equal pay for equal work and deny access to health care for workers and their families. On February 2nd, 400 delegates elected from their 13,000 members met at the Anchorage Hilton for the 51st annual NEA Alaska Delegate Assembly. They set the policy that NEA Alaska would adamantly oppose this type of legislation. With over 30 pieces of legislation currently assigned to the House State Affairs Committee, it is indeed unfortunate that HJR 9 has seen its way to be scheduled. NEA Alaska has great respect for you, Mr. Chairman. We respect the sponsor and the members of this committee and the legislative process. That said, HJR 9 deserves the same fate as SJR 20 received last year, to be stopped in committee before it can do further damage in alienating our fellow Alaskans. This is about equality, fairness, dignity, and respect for all Alaskans. Please do not allow HJR 9 to move from committee, and please make this the last hearing on this divisive issue. I thank you for your time today.
Thank you for your testimony, and I'm very happy to have NEA come out in favor of right to life. Next,
John Monagle, in the audience, I believe. That if, I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Can't, having a hard time reading it, so. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Chairman Lynn, committee, thank you for having me. I come here in support of the resolution.
Give us your name, please, in case
John Monagle, Juneau, Alaska resident, lifetime resident of Alaska. I think we need to keep our focus here. The issue here is on marriage. Anything else is rhetoric, smokescreen. This is an attack on marriage. I especially like the wording in the resolution that marriage will consist of one man, one woman, and no other union will be recognized. I ask for a quick passage of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it.
We'll go online again to Fairbanks. Mary Bishop, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
My name is Mary Bishop from Fairbanks.
Thank you for testifying.
I would like to respectfully disagree with my friends, Mr. Coghill and Lehman. It is a societal issue that we need to answer now, and it's an issue that I've been wrapping my head around for 60 of my 69 years. And my ideas, my concepts have evolved over those 60 years. It's not easy for me as a Catholic or as a Republican to come out on these issues, but it is a decision that I've made in good conscience. My 46-year marriage to Richard is not threatened by my friend's same-sex union, nor is any other marriage. Indeed, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, and I am thankful when committed gay couples value the same sort of commitments found in a good heterosexual marriage. The New Jersey Supreme Court recently ruled that New Jersey must provide benefits to same-sex domestic partners. Instead of proposing a discriminatory amendment to their state constitution, the New Jersey legislature created a civil union law, allowing committed domestic partners to receive the same benefits as married couples. And I urge our legislators to do likewise. To pass HJR 9 would mean that no matter how long-standing the commitment of an unmarried, straight or gay couple, they could be denied, and they would be denied, the rights to visit a hospitalized partner, end-of-life health care, child custody, and other state-provided spousal rights. Equal rights under the Constitution would take a big hit in all kinds of ways yet to be litigated. We've got to get past the fear, the disinformation, the myths, and the discrimination that understandably result in anger and retaliation, drugs and alcohol, family despair, and sometimes, unfortunately, suicide. A state statute providing for civil unions among gay and straight couples is the response our legislature should make to our Supreme Court's unanimous ruling.
You've got about 15 seconds.
The will of the people can become the tyranny of the majority. And I think all of us who have been involved with government realize that. And that's why we have a constitution that protects the minority. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next, we'll go to Kevin Daugherty. Kevin, are you there?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. This is Kevin Daugherty, a retired attorney in Eagle River.
Good morning.
I wanted to go on record in support of the HJR 9. If you look at the Alaska Constitution, very importantly, it begins with "We the People." And it's a matter of law that the Alaska Constitution, fortunately, is based on the organic rights that the people of Alaska have in the Constitution. And further, at the end of our Constitution, it ends with the ability of the people to amend it. Our Constitution has been amended 27 times for all kinds of issues, such as Alaska Hire, the Alaska Permanent Fund, veterans housing bonding, and other issues. And we don't really need to dive into the merits and argue about the merits of this particular issue. What we need to do is to respect the people, put the issue before Alaskans and let them vote, and then we in turn respect the people. So I urge you to vote to pass the bill and to put it before Alaskans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate your testimony. Who do we have next?
Catherine Hawker.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I don't have a lot to say that hasn't been said already, but I do want to go on record as saying that I oppose this resolution. This bill. Thank you. And I believe that it is damaging to the will of the people as shown in the Constitution. I'm sorry to hear what seems like a disrespect for the Supreme Court. And please table it. In fact, you might as well just crumple it up and throw it away. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mac Carter? Mac Carter, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Loud and clear.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and the members of the committee. First of all, I'd like to state that my wife is an employee of the state of Alaska. She has been a paraprofessional first aid for over 12 years. has no benefits. So if you want to say you want to put discrimination into the scenario, that's a discrimination as far as I'm concerned, and she is concerned, because she's only worked 6.5 hours a day. Therefore, the state is unobligated to pay benefits. That being said, that leaves us with having to either provide our own or have none. I am for House the bill that is presently before this committee and before the legislature. I sternly suggest that you do pass it. And I'd like to read you something that I did not write, but was written many years ago. And it states like this: marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. I think as people of this state, we have the inherent right, as was stated previously by the previous speaker, that there is something that is different in our state. We are different. Alaskans are different than any place else. I think that is something to be proud of. It's not something that says that we should be like other people in other states and, you know, go along with the flow and pass a law that is against what the majority of the people of the state of Alaska have said otherwise, too. I think it is inherent for us to take that to heart and not have to go through this ordeal ever again. With the passage of this bill, it should close not only the front door but the rear door to any more discussion as to, you know, the importance of the marriage between one man and one woman. But with that, I'll leave you, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony.
Next would be Michael McLeod Ball. Are you there, sir?
I am. Can you hear me?
Ball?
Yes.
My name is Michael McLeod Ball. I'm the executive director of the ACLU of Alaska. I think our position on this issue is fairly well known, as the proponents of the litigation that resulted in the October 2005 decision. So I'm going to shorten my testimony and defer to the many others who are waiting to testify, and I'll just say for the record, in case we don't get to everybody, that 15 of the 16 people that were here in the Anchorage LIO were firmly in opposition to this matter. I would also urge you to consider that simply because 50.1% may be in favor of something doesn't mean that we should amend our Constitution, which is considered one of the most progressive and protective of individual rights of any Constitution in the country. I'll defer my time to others who are waiting to speak. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I appreciate it, Mr. McLeod. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
Next would be Jim Minnery. Jim, do you have any testimony? Jim, are you there? Bob. He's offline now. Okay.
Okay.
Next would be Dixie Hood.
Yeah, we'll try to take about two more, maybe.
And if the next person wants to come up, too, that would be Lynn Davis. That'll save us a little time in transition.
How many in the audience have not yet spoken? Who wish to speak?
I think that's the last two that I have here.
Good morning. My name is Dixie Hood, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in private practice here in Juneau. Governing the diverse and independent citizens of Alaska can sometimes be compared to herding cats. Likewise, can the indignant Alaskan public attempting to keep the legislative majority on a civil and constructive track. I am here this morning to join an effort to herd you cats toward a sense of responsibility. Alaska is a state that should be governed by humane and just law, not intolerance and emotional tirades. The slick mailers sent out in support of Vote Yes to Protect Marriage and Families distorts the truth. The ruling of the Alaska Supreme Court is not abusive. The advisory vote and this proposed legislation is abusive to a significant percent of Alaskans, both adults and children, who would lose health benefits they already have. Based on the Equal Protection Clause of our Alaska Constitution, the Supreme Court sought through its ruling to protect persons in committed relationships who are prohibited from marriage by the 1998 amendment. The ruling called for equal pay, including benefits, for equal work. To characterize that ruling as a demand for special benefits is dishonest semantics. Every legislator swore to uphold the state constitution. Failing to support equal protection for all Alaskans violates our constitution and panders to prejudices based on disregard for our system of justice and ignorance of the nature of sexual orientation. Whatever the outcome of the advisory vote, it is not a representative scientific poll. This advisory vote you approved foments fear, hatred, and divisiveness in our communities. Recent letters to the editor are shocking in their trampling of democratic values. The special election is also a waste of the people's money. And this bill, HJR 9, wastes your time and ours when there are many high priority needs for legislative action. I believe it is an exercise in futility. If you have homophobic constituents with whom you wish to demonstrate an alliance, this bill is a political ploy unworthy of elected state representatives. HJR 9 is shameful and should never come out of committee. It is not the cat's meow.
Thank you. And I do agree with you about trying to herd cats around this place. Okay. Next, please.
Thank you. Good morning. Lynn Davis, and I am a state employee, and I've taken personal leave to be here today. This bears repeating. I like what President Bush said at Coretta Scott King's funeral. Her work made us whole. Let's use Coretta's life and President Bush's words as a measuring stick and see how HJR 9 measures up. First, HJR 9 will take away the health insurance and survivor benefits that I'm now able to offer my same-sex life partner. Imagine taking away health benefits. We've been together 19 years. We're on our third set of dogs. My partner is self-employed, and my health insurance is all that she has. As an older couple, we are financially vulnerable. If she had a major medical crisis and had no health insurance, we could quickly lose our home and slide into bankruptcy. If my partner had to enter a nursing home, I would not be able to remain in our home. We could lose so much so quickly. And how does taking away her health insurance serve the public good? How will it help our community if she is prevented from getting my last paycheck and my death benefits? Because HJR 9 makes us financially very vulnerable, our whole community loses if the two of us are in health financial crisis. It costs everyone, local businesses, the hospital, the city, the state, when we can't financially survive. HJR 9 does not strengthen our communities. It's clearly bad public policy. It appears to be punishing those of us who are different. This is clearly not a Coretta. The intent of HJR 9 is to make sure that certain groups of people are kept financially and socially vulnerable and marginalized. Why would anyone want to do that to a group of their fellow Americans? At a time when most states are figuring out how to provide health insurance for all citizens, Alaska will be in a race to the bottom by proposing to take away health benefits and survivor benefits from gay employees or in committed same-sex long-term relationships. Note that the net has now widened, and now unmarried men and women are also targets. HJR 9 is so un-Alaskan, it's so undemocratic. We know these exact words are imported from Michigan, where this policy has been damaging to the public good. Alaskans believe in fairness and equal pay for equal work. What kind of example are we setting for our youth when they see it's okay to treat gay people and unmarried people as second-class citizens? My coworkers at the job center where I work are pleased that after 10 years, I'm finally making equal pay to them. Alaskans are proud of our Constitution and its eloquent equal protection, which indeed lives up to Coretta's life work. HJR 9 appears to be another prong in a movement called No Gays left in the Constitution. What if the signers of this resolution are unknowingly writing their child or niece or nephew or grandchild out of constitutional equal protection? What a deeply harmful action toward a family member.
About 15 seconds.
HJR 9 will prevent employers here in Juneau from providing work-related merit-based benefits that they deem necessary. Here in Juneau, we have CBJ, University, Bartlett, Alaska Airlines, actually about 10 or 12 others. Thank you. Please table this. It's extraordinarily harmful.
And just one quick question. You say take away benefits. Does your partner have benefits now?
Yes. It's the only way she has health insurance.
Is she a state employee?
No, she's self-employed.
But she has state benefits.
She has them under my plan, and that started January 1st because of the Supreme
Court. Since this happened?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay. How many more do we have? I think we're going to have to cut it off here.
Actually, we have 10 more people. And it appears from this list that they all want to speak against the bill.
We have to adjourn at 10 o'clock because we have a floor session at 10 o'clock. So at this point, I'd like to thank everybody who's testified. It's been a very good discussion, I think.
Mr. Chair, if you would like, I could read the names onto the record.
Would you please read the names under the record of those who requested to testify?
And if there's anyone that I have misspoken for on their behalf, please let me know. But according to the information I have, all of these people wanted to testify against this bill. That would be Tim Stollard from Fairbanks, Paula Adasiak from Fairbanks, Cheryl Hume from Fairbanks, Jane Schlittler from Anchorage, Jeanette Eileen from Anchorage, Allison Mendel from Anchorage, Stephen Gingrich from Eagle River, which is also Anchorage, Katie Lister, Anchorage, Scott Bailey from Anchorage, Paula Terrell from, it says Juneau on here, but I'm not sure about that. And then we have one letter of support from Shelley Hughes from Palmer.
Thank you. And I would encourage those people to please submit the testimony in writing and electronically, if that's possible. Have some mercy on our clerks over here.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair?
Yes. Who is this?
This is Sherry Modrow in Fairbanks. I didn't hear my name on that list.
I do not see it on the list.
Okay. What's your name, please?
Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-Y, Modrow, M-O-D-R-O-W. I did sign up on the Fairbanks list this morning.
Were you pro or con on the issue?
Thank you.
Were you pro or con on the issue?
Oh, I am against this resolution.
Right. Thank you. And I would like to congratulate everybody who spoke and the civility with which we had this discussion. It's very, very encouraging. So with that, I'm going to close a public testimony. We're going to have a brief discussion here on the committee. I think Representative Gruenberg had a question he wanted to ask to one of us or somebody. I'm not sure. Representative Gruenberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was originally going to ask Marsha Buck a question, but I think the better person to ask is Bob Dahl.
A little louder, please.
Bob Dahl.
If Assemblyman Dahl could come up.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Juneau's had a record snowfall this year, may continue. Hasn't been the easiest year to get out. There's going to be a special election a week from Tuesday, and I'm wondering how you think having a special election at this unusual time will affect the turnout.
Well, it turns out, as a matter of fact, Mr. Chairman, that we're going to have three elections here in Juneau. We're going to have one on April 3rd, we'll have another one in June on a bond issue, and then we'll have a general election in the fall. I think the public may be somewhat tapped out on participation. I hope they will show up. I do believe that the turnout here in Juneau for this on this issue will be substantial. I don't know whether it'll be more than half, but I think it'll be substantial.
Thank you. That's
simply because of the number of state employees here and the number of people who are interested in the topic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's my only question.
The bigger the turnout, the better. Representative Dahl?
Yes.
You're not going to refute your husband, are you?
Heaven forbid. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I presume that we're just going to now give our particular opinions as we go across.
Yes, we can come down the line. Yes. I'm going to let Reverend Cogger finish up since it's his, he's the prime sponsor in this legislation.
Thank you very much.
I think I'll let you go last, President Coghill.
Well, you know, when we did the Constitution of the United States, we remember that the Bill of Rights was added separately, and it was not originally even written into the Constitution. It was offered separately. And since that time, the preambles of the state constitutions are considered to be separate from the Constitution in the sense that it cannot, they cannot be amended. The freedoms and rights that we have cannot be amended, and therefore, it's a protection for the minority against the majority. I think this is not a really a marriage issue, per se. I think I could be sitting here and talking about many different kinds of issues. But the one I'm really addressing here, and to me the point, is I believe that we're looking at the preamble, and I think it's an argument against the preamble. I think it's an attack against the preamble, and also an attack against what I consider to be the responsibilities of the judicial system to uphold the constitutionality of the preamble. Therefore, I definitely oppose this, and I would ask that we do table this, and I thank you for my time to be able to speak to that. And I also want to say, before I close, that I respect every member of this committee, and I appreciate that we all have the right to speak.
Thank you very much. Reverend Grunberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also oppose this because I think it's denial of a basic human right. And I took an oath to uphold the Constitution and the principles for which the Constitution stands. And the most basic human principle is equal protection of the law. I'm also concerned about this from another point of view, and I didn't appear to be listening. I really was. I was trying to look up something.
You do listen, I know that.
Thank you. Yeah, try to. And, you know, when a constitutional amendment was invalidated a few years ago by the Supreme Court, it was on a fairly unusual basis, and that is because the Supreme Court felt that the single amendment was so far-reaching, it amounted to a revision of the Constitution, had a far-reaching effect way beyond the actual text of the language. And the language here, and I know this bill goes to Judiciary Committee, but I'd like to alert the folks who are online and the people who are here and who may watch this on gavel to gavel that I am concerned about the same problem here, because it talks about a union and it talks about rights, benefits, obligations, qualities, or effects of marriage. And I think that's very broad. And this will include aspects of property law, workers' comp law, criminal law, inheritance, family law, spousal support, aggravators at sentencing, the Human Rights Act, your insurance law, and hospitalization, to name only a few. And I'm going to ask that legal research and our alleged legal counsel see how many different areas of the Constitution this one small few-word amendment could touch, because I have grave doubts as to whether this would survive a court challenge or whether it would be considered a revision, and nobody has touched on that yet, but I certainly intend to do so.
Thank you very much. Reverend Johnson, any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate that this bill does go to Judiciary, because I think that some of the finer legal aspects can be honed out there. And as an overall policy call, I support this this resolution. I, too, took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and I think one of the things that our country was founded on is the separation of powers. I think that the Supreme Court has stepped across the line from an interpretive body to a policymaking body. I have great concerns about that. So I'll support this on one level. I will support it because I think the Supreme Court stepped across the bounds, and we need to have the showdown.
I wish it were a different subject, but I think this is one that will generate the kind of conversations that we need to have and clearly establish the legislature's role in this government. I'm a little concerned, Mr. Chairman, quite honestly, on the shortening of public testimony. I think this is a bill that deserves to be heard and that people have a right to speak, and I will not go beyond that other than to say I'm a little concerned about shortening that. I do understand expediency, and I understand where you're going with it, but I do support this resolution, and maybe for a little different reasons than some, but I do support it and will encourage it to move on to the next committee, where I hope they will take the proper judiciary approach to it.
I appreciate it. Reverend Grant, any comments?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. A lot of people talk about taking an oath to uphold the Constitution, and when we do that, we uphold the entire Constitution from the first word to the last. That's what we put our hand up to. And included in between those two words is the ability to put forward questions like this to the public, and also to the public in the other direction through the initiative to affect what we do here. So when you hold up that Constitution, you hold up all of it, and I have no problem with the process of putting this question out there, of moving it along in the committee process. There's a very, very high bar, as the sponsor knows, to get this on the ballot, a three-quarter vote, I believe, in this spot, in this House. So there's a long way to go. It's a very challenging. When I was on staff, we did put a constitutional amendment before the voters, and it's very difficult to get it through this body. So I'm not sure when it gets on the floor where it's all going to shake out for me, but I will support this going through the committee process.
Thank you very much. Senator Rogers, any comments?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And it wasn't that long ago that I was going door to door campaigning to get into this seat to represent the people, not only in my district, but the people across the state. And I take that role and that responsibility very seriously. And I can tell you that in the areas when I walk door to door and the phone calls that I received and meetings that I went to and constituent meetings that I go to, this is a very divisive issue. This is an issue that is pretty much down the middle. For the folks that I talk to, I'd say there's about as many that I represent that are in favor of this bill as there are those that are opposed to it. There have been a number of bills that I've had to discuss, and a number of bills that have come before this committee that my personal opinion of what I felt was maybe different than the way that I voted, simply because my job of being elected is to represent those that sent me here. And for some people, they say, well, that's, you know, that gives you an opportunity to escape the issue. No, it doesn't. This is the first time that I've made this statement. I have voted knowing how I need to vote, knowing what I need to do based on what the people that elected me sent me here to do. I represent a very large group of people, not just myself. If I were voting on this issue just by myself, it would be just as tough to decide. I have two daughters. I love them both dearly. They are on opposite sides of this issue. They could be more different on this position than anybody else. I mean, one is extreme one way and one is extreme the other way. And it makes for some very interesting conversations when we're lucky enough to have all the family members together. So no matter how I vote on this issue, I'm going to have one daughter upset with me and one that's very proud. And the next time I vote on a bill, it'll probably be the opposite. So with that being said, I firmly believe that the folks that sent me here to represent their best interest. And I think on this particular situation, the only way I can be guaranteed that the folks in my district get a voice in this is for them to be able to vote for it on the ballot. And so for that reason, I am going to move this out of committee. I don't know how I'm going to vote when it gets to the floor. I guess it depends on which daughter hammers me the hardest.
Thank you. If you think you have wrong, I have six kids, so I have six different opinions on every issue under the sun. But that said, I do believe the only appropriate legal marriage is between one man and one woman, and a mere sexual partnership, whatever it is, whoever is between, isn't a legal marriage, and therefore it doesn't form the proper benefit, basis for benefits to one or more of the partners. And to me, the fact that such partners are not permitted by law to marry is irrelevant. If someone can't get married for whatever reason, they should not be treated by law as if they were married. We also have the issue of the separation of powers between the legislature, judiciary, and executive branch. I think they've overstepped their bounds on this. And I think if the legislature doesn't stand up to the court and give the people of Alaska a chance to step up to the court, we're not doing our job. And so, Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, after the Second World War, and we began a real upswing in American workforce, one of the things that people did to try to attract people to the workforce was offer benefits. And it became part of a work package that later on became part of the value of the tax package. I think Sam finally figured that one out. But they placed a high value on married people because there was a stability. There was a stabilized workforce, I guess is probably the better way of saying it. And there was no contemplation on offering benefits to anything other than married couples. The assumption at that point was married couples were a man and a woman. The debate in the 90s and into this century has been, should we maintain that? And I stand on the side that says marriage should be between a man and a woman. The benefits of marriage and the fact of marriage itself has been a very highly prized institution in history. And here we are debating the merits once again. In Alaska and America, we're going to be debating it. I appreciate the civility in which you have managed the committee today and the civility of those who came forward to testify. But I still believe that a marriage between a man and woman gives us the best stability in our workforce. I believe the people of Alaska spoke very clearly on that in 1998. The Supreme Court, I think, is wrong on this issue. Supreme Courts have been wrong down through the years and have been changed by either by the people or by other courts. Legislatures have been wrong. The people have been wrong. So the good thing is we have a constitution that allows us the platform for the discussion. And I also have raised my hand to uphold that constitution. The freedom to have your say, the freedom for debate is very, very significant to me. Because other people do it with bloodshed. I think we do it with impassioned speech, and I appreciate both pro and con that have come before us. I don't personally believe that holding marriage in a special way is discriminatory to other people. Obviously, you've heard in testimony today that they feel that there are people who feel that it is discriminatory. I do not feel and I feel very strongly that holding marriage up is the better thing for society. Marriage is between a man and a woman. I don't know that the benefits that are offered by an employer is an inherent basic right. I don't know that that's true for married people because there are people who work in Alaska who are married who don't get those benefits. The state of Alaska has chosen to offer them, and offer them to married couples, like I said, in Statute 24 and in 18, because they valued the stabilized and the benefit of that marriage. So this constitutional amendment proposal asks that question. But the question cannot be answered unless the people of Alaska get a chance to chime in. We have, Mr. Chairman, been overruled by the Supreme Court. So our only recourse is to ask the people of Alaska, is that what you really want? And I agree there might be some legal questions that we need to answer specifically in the language here. And I am not opposed to examining the benefit of examining every word that is. But realize that if this is a revision of the Constitution, then what the Supreme Court did was a revision of the Constitution, Mr. Chairman. Because what they did was they said that if you're similarly situated, then the benefits of marriage are going to be paid now, first of all, by public employees, but remember, this is a constitution. Therefore, it's going to apply to all people in all of Alaska. So every benefit that a married couple has been afforded up to this point is going to fall to that logic. And so be aware that both public and private people will have to answer to that logic that they put in force here. And that goes throughout the whole Constitution. And so I think that the Supreme Court ruling has challenged the whole Constitution in that regard, my friend Mr. Gruenberg stated. So that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we make the policy call of saying we'll encourage the people to chime in on it by passing this from committee. There are some legal questions that we're going to have to thoroughly vet. I will not shrink from that, and I won't demagogue it. I think we need to look at it very seriously and properly as the stewards that we're supposed to be for the people of Alaska. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we move this from committee.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Is there objection?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion. Procedural motion.
Well, with the motion on the floor is already.
I think I could make a procedural motion to take precedence.
Quickly.
I move that we table this for another week or two to give the people who haven't spoken and other people who may not have had notice of today's hearing a chance to be heard.
Is there objection to the motion?
Yes, I'll object, Mr. Speaker and Mr. Chairman.
This is the tabling motion, right?
Right. You made a motion to table.
And I object.
Objection. Somebody objected. And take the roll, please.
Representative Dahl.
Yes.
Representative Roses.
No.
Representative Coghill.
No.
Representative Johansson.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Gruenberg.
Yes.
Chair Lynn.
No. Okay. The other motion.
Two yay, five nay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we pass House Rent Resolution 9 out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Any objection?
Yes.
Okay. Take the roll.
Excuse me, for the record, it was Gruenberg, was it?
I'll yield to Representative Dahl.
Yes.
Thank you. Representative Roses.
Yes.
Representative Coghill.
Yes.
Representative Johansson.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Gruenberg.
No.
Representative Dahl.
No.
Chair Lynn.
Yes.
Five yay, two nay.
I'd like to thank everybody who's here today, both the people in the audience, online, and here in the committee, for again the very civil discussion. We had a very controversial issue because it's an important issue. This goes on to the Judiciary Committee and perhaps beyond that. And with that, again, thank you very much. The next committee meeting is on Thursday. I don't have the schedule with me right now, but it'll be announced. The